Together and worship you today. We thank you for this special Sunday of the year when we think of the resurrection of Christ. And Lord, we rejoice that you had the power over the devil and the power over sin, power over death, and you arose victorious. And what a exciting day to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray that you would help us as believers to rejoice in the fact that you are alive today. And you're seated at the right hand of God interceding for us. And because of that, we can pray and bring our requests to you and think of this unspoken request that Michelle has today. You know the need there. Think about Michael and his job situation as he's trying to find something local and not being on the road. Lord, with folks with different physical needs today, think of Colin, young man who broke his arm in this accident. We pray that you would touch his body and raise him up. Thank you. Gideon's doing well, and just continue to help him to heal. And Lord, continue to pray for those in our class who have loved ones who have passed away. And for Anna Marie, Lord, continue to pray for she and Doug, and that you would continue to comfort them. And Lord, we thank you that there is comfort in Christ and in the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, we just rejoice today in being your children. And Lord, we know heaven will be our home someday, but we rejoice that you're here with us now and you're able to help us. And Lord, we love you today, want to serve you. We ask for your blessing on this time as we look at your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see, Martha, Steve is sitting right back here in the middle. He may even find a chair for you if you behave yourself. Way in the back there. There you go. You got a chair ready? Good. Bob, if worse comes to worse, there are some chairs hidden back there in the back wall. If we have some more come in, if you'll help them out, that'd be great. Thank you. Easter is, to me, probably my favorite Sunday of the year. In fact, we have an evangelistic team here, and during the week, Ben Farrell is going to lead the music, and I went to Pastor this week, and I said, could I just lead the music this morning? I mean, Easter Sunday, I can't, you know, it's a great day. You got to lead the music Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, so he said I could, so you're stuck with me again one more Sunday. But I love Easter for one reason. I don't think it's quite as commercialized as Christmas, although there is stuff going on. But, you know, pretty much it's the resurrection of Christ. But let me ask you a question. If there was no Easter, if there was no resurrection of Jesus Christ, how would your life have been different this week? Now think about that. Really, dig in here. I know you're not supposed to have to think right at the beginning, but how would your life have changed this week if Christ had not risen from the dead? Now, for some people, the only difference would be, well, they wouldn't get new clothes and they wouldn't have an Easter egg hunt. I hope that's not true of you. Now, I'm throwing this open. I hope your mind is working this morning, because I'm going to ask you to help me here. How would your life have been different, specifically this week, if Christ had not risen from the dead? There'd be no hope. Yes, and you kind of stole my thunder in 1 Corinthians 15, but we're going to get there in a minute. That's okay. All right, what else? It's exactly right. What else? How would your life, what are some actions or activities, that, not counting Sundays, that would have been different this week if Christ had not risen?
Well, we wouldn't have visited. We wouldn't have read the Bible.
You wouldn't have visited. You wouldn't have read the Bible. Okay. You wouldn't pray. What else? There'd be no hope.
No fellowship with other believers.
No fellowship with other believers. There would be no body of Christ, would there? What else? You're doing well. No concern for others. Yeah, what would you say to someone dying of cancer? Good luck. You know, hope you don't suffer too much before you die. Kind of sobering, isn't it? Sure. Your life would be full of guilt over sin. Would there be any rhyme or reason to life? Yeah, basically, you would live like a lost person, wouldn't you?
Yeah, how do they make it?
Yeah, drugs, alcohol. Yeah. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm not gonna spend our time there this morning, but this is Paul's doctrinal answer to this question. And some of you have said some of the things we're going to find here, but I just want to read a little portion of this, chapter 15, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12. And it says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" All right, now follow the logical processes that Paul's going to lay down. All right, no resurrection, number one, then Christ is not risen. "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain." Everything that we preach in the Word of God is useless. "And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God." Come in, there you go. Have a seat. Congratulations, young lady, by the way. Just found out Conwita got married a couple weeks ago or something or other. Exciting times. Good. Where was I, Conwita, before you interrupted me? Let's see. Thank you. "Yea, we be found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain." Everything you believe is empty and useless. "Ye are yet in your sins." Now, I want you to stop and think about that this morning. If Christ had not risen from the dead, you would still be bound by sin. You would still be under the punishment of sin. You'd have no hope. You would have guilt full of it in your life. Terrible. Terrible. Let's go on a couple more here. And it says, verse 18, "Then they which," and this is one that Anna Marie mentioned, "then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." If there's no resurrection of the dead, your dead loved ones, it's over. "And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Now, we could teach on that. I'm not going to. There's the doctrinal treatise by Paul. But what I want to do this morning, I instead want to look at the life of a lady in the Bible who illustrates for us the trauma and the drama of the death of Christ. Her name is Mary. Now that helps you a little bit, but there are six different Marys in the New Testament. This Mary is known specifically by the city she lived in. Who am I talking about? Mary from Magdala, Mary Magdalene. And we want to study Mary Magdalene's life this morning. She came from this place that means tower or castle, located about 3 miles from the Sea of Galilee, about 3 miles from Capernaum. Very wealthy city, had dye works there, had textile factories there. It is one of only 3 cities that had to bring three wagon loads of offerings to Jerusalem. And it was a very wealthy city. She is from that city. And this morning, as we study her life, I want you to see the importance of the resurrection. And I think maybe, just to be honest with you, we maybe could stop right now. And you've been thinking about the resurrection and thinking, wow. Now, on the flip side, by the way, if there is a resurrection of Christ, then all those things are not true. Aren't you glad? And we'll cover that as we go along. So here we go. Mary Magdalene, number one. Luke chapter 8, I want you to see Mary's slavery. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Now, we notice right off the bat that she was a slave. You say, what are you talking about? What was her slavery? Well, the Word of God says in verse number 2 that she was indwelt by seven devils. Now, let's stop just a minute. How many devils are there? Well, there is the devil, but the devil has demons. By the way, it's not semons. It's demons, okay? Make sure you get that straight there. And how many demons are there? You say, well, I've got three or four leaving my house. No, no. Well, the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 6 that there are so many of them that they are lined up in principalities and powers. There are even divisions in power. Yes, and there was a man who was controlled by demons. And in fact, it said he had how many demons? Legion. There are 6,000 Roman soldiers in a legion. And when, by the way, when Jesus Christ released those demons, what'd they do? They went to the pigs, and 2,000 pigs, here it is, committed suicide. Aren't you glad you came this morning? I mean, if you hadn't come, you would have missed these great tidbits of knowledge. Some of you are still looking at me like, okay. So there are multitudes of demons. And these demons go about doing the work of the devil. Okay? Here is a lady who was indwelt by seven different demons. She's in bad shape. She is bound by these demons. Now, I'm sure she went through her life and there were times that she wished she could get rid of those demons. We really don't know a whole lot about the influence of the demons in her life, but we know that they are very powerful beings. In fact, in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus came to the disciples and they were trying to cast out a demon from a young man and they were not successful. And what did he say? These only come out by prayer and fasting. What was he saying? Human effort cannot get rid of the demons that bind you. It takes the power of God. So here is a young lady, folks, who is bound by seven different demons. There's nothing she can do. She's in a hopeless situation. Yes.
What is the relationship between these demons and the third of the angels that were cast out of heaven? Do you think those are the same?
I do not know. It's a good question. I'll just give you my answer. I don't have a clue. I would say, just off the top of my head, which is dangerous when you don't have any air, I would say probably they are. I mean, if nothing else, they are working with the devil. I'm not sure about that. Let me do some research on that. I'll get back with you, okay? Now, the effects of her slavery. What happened to her because of it? Well, it's interesting. There is a teaching that she became a prostitute because of this. In fact, in 591 AD, Pope Gregory said that Mary Magdalene, Mary the sinner, and Mary of Bethany were all the same woman. And so they even got to calling prostitutes Magdalenes. It's interesting, if you go online, there's an organization called the Mary Magdalene Project, and it's all over the United States. And their goal is to help young women who have gotten into prostitution to get out. Having said all that, there really is no scriptural proof that she was a prostitute. Okay? It may be, we really don't know. But we do know the effect of demon possession, if you turn to Mark chapter 5. We've already mentioned this man. Mark chapter 5 and verse 2. And this is the maniac of Gadara. Mark chapter 5 and verse 2. And it says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now here's a man who's possessed by a legion of demons, and he's uncontrollable. He can't control himself. Man can't control him. He's living in a cemetery in the tombs. He's cutting himself. He's in just terrible shape. Now, she's not in that condition as far as we know, but she is demon-possessed. Now, there are a couple hints for us back in Luke chapter 8. I should have had you hold your place there. But it says that she'd been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Now, that word evil is also translated wicked or lewd, harmful spirits. And it created infirmities, some physical illness, some human weakness. Probably, if we had seen her, we would say, man, she's crazy. You know, disheveled hair, clothes all a mess, just crazy look in her eyes. Some of you kind of, no, just kidding. I mean, cut off from society, from her family. I mean, she's an outcast. She's just, you know, if you saw her, you'd probably say, wow, she's crazy. She's demon-possessed. Now, what a terrible situation. Give me some words that would describe her situation. Hopeless, lonely, desperate. What else? Those are all good. What's that? Fearful? Yeah, what am I going to do tomorrow? You know, I have no control. No control. Can you imagine? Use your imagination, but can you see her in your mind's eye? Sure. She's in bad shape. She's in bad shape. Now, what happened? Well, you're still in Luke chapter 8. And we find that something happens in her life. Here she is, she's following Christ. At some point, we do not know, but at some point in Scripture, she met Jesus Christ. She didn't take 12 steps, you know, this was not self-reformation. She didn't go to a priest or someone to have the demons cast out. She met Christ, and when she did, Christ cast those demons out of her life. And this would be, secondly, her salvation. Christ came and had the power to deliver her. He cared about her. He came to her. He saw her condition, and he delivered her from the demons that controlled her life. And by the way, if you're here today and you're not a child of God, I've got good news for you. Jesus can deliver you. You say, wait a minute, I'm not under the bondage of devils or demons. No, but you are under the bondage of sin. And the Word of God says if you are not born again today, that you are a child of the devil. And he is controlling your life. And I've got good news for you. Jesus Christ can deliver you from the power of sin. You say, Gary, I've been forward 15 times, but I can't have any victory over sin in my life. Maybe you don't have the real thing. Because the real thing will make you a child of God. And the Holy Spirit of God will come to indwell you and everything changes. Everything changes. And it changed in this lady's life. Boy, things dramatically changed. And for the first time in her life, she was free from bondage. Wow. Can you imagine? Do you see her before Christ? And she came to Christ. And can you see her now? Again, great illustration is the man controlled by the demons there in the maniac of Gadara. Because how does the Word of God describe him after those demons were cast out? Yeah, look back up. First of all, he was seated. Before he couldn't even keep himself sitting. He was clothed. Now we could preach there for a while. We won't. If your phone rings, answer it, okay? He was clothed. He was in his right mind. Wow. And I'll just be honest with you. That's kind of how I see Mary Magdalene. Crazy, disheveled, crazy look, hair wild. Just, and then she meets Christ and she's been delivered. The song came to my mind this morning as I was finishing printing it out here at the church. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. Wow. Wow. She was saved. Her life was changed. Now, thirdly, Mary's service. We've seen her slavery, her salvation. Thirdly, her service. You're still in Luke chapter 8, I think. And here she is traveling with a group of women, and they are ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his disciples. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about what they were doing. It does say in verse 3, which ministered unto him of their substance. So these are women that had some substance. They had some money, and they were helping provide for this. As Christ traveled around with his disciples, where'd the food come from? Well, they had to have food, had to have lodging, had to have someone prepare the food, had to have someone minister to them. And that's what these ladies were doing. Now, why did she do that? Because when she got saved, when Christ delivered, he said, all right, for the rest of your life, you will follow me, you will serve me, you will provide for me, right? I don't think so. Why'd she do it?
Gratitude and love.
And by the way, which is a stronger motivator? Duty or gratitude and love? Wow. Now, you're in Luke chapter 8. I want you to go back one page, or you may be the same page, Luke chapter 7. And by the way, this is one reason why some people think Mary Magdalene was a sinful lady, because it's obviously in Luke chapter 7, and she comes around in Luke chapter 8. But notice verse 36. I'm going to read quite a bit of this passage. One of the Pharisees desiring him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him the most? Now you know the answer to that, don't you? If two of you owed me money, David Hayes owed me 25 cents. Larry Stover owes me $25,000. And Larry Stover comes to me and said, hey, it's my birthday. $25,000, will you forgive me? And being the nice guy that I am, I say, look, sure, I'll be glad to forgive you. David Hayes comes to me and said, hey, I owe 25 cents, will you forgive me? I can't pay it. And I say, sure. Now, who owes me the most? Who should love me the most? And that's the whole story here. Now let's read on. Simon answered and said, verse 43, well, I suppose, that's a good answer. I guess, he that whom thou forgavest most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto her, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. What's the point? Mary Magdalene realized how much Christ had forgiven her, and she served him because she loved him. Are we commanded to serve Christ? Well, yeah, we are. Sure. Lots of commands in the Word of God. But we should also serve him because we love him. And like Mary Magdalene, folks, she realized all that Christ had done for her, and she's serving Christ. Now think about this, folks. She's traveling around with Christ. Everywhere that he goes, this group of women are going and ministering to the disciples. Now, what did she get to hear? Have you ever thought, boy, wouldn't it have been great to travel with Christ and listen to him give these parables and all these teachings. I mean, just be right there in the front row. There were no back row Baptists in that day. They were all in the front row. They wanted, what? Can you imagine just listening to Christ? I mean, listening to God speak? Wow. And not only that, as they traveled, 10 lepers come up and he heals them all. And blind people and deaf people and all kinds of things occur. And Mary Magdalene, I mean, she was there when there were 5,000 men that were hungry. You women think it's bad when you got two. 5,000 men. And I'd say she maybe even saw the loaves coming up. This guy's lunch. Wow. That whole group over there ate that. And that group, and that group, and that group. In fact, everybody got to eat out of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is amazing. Wow. Amazing. As she traveled with Christ. Can you imagine how wonderful that was, folks? I mean, wow. She got to see all these miracles. She got to hear the words coming right from Christ's mouth. I mean, how could things get any better? I mean, this is wonderful. Well, turn to John chapter 19. We see, fourthly, Mary's sorrow. John chapter 19, verse 25. My, how the time has changed. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. What has happened? Christ has been put on trial. He has been beaten. He has been scourged. They've spat on him. They've buffeted him. They've hit him. His visage has been marred. You can't even hardly tell who it is. And they've taken him. And can you imagine? Mary knows the power that Christ has. And as they're scourging him, she thinks, well, Lord, okay, that's enough. Now destroy them all. And yet Christ does nothing. And they take him and they nail him to that cross. And as the song says, I'm sure she could have thought, Lord, you could call 10,000 angels to destroy all these people and you could deliver yourself and we can set up the kingdom and it can all be wonderful. And it didn't happen. I mean, all of her faith, all of her hope, all her belief, it's in Christ. And he's hanging on the cross. And she hears the Lord Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as it passes, he begins to listen to these thieves talking, and one places his faith in Christ, and he says to that thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then he speaks to John and to Mary, and he says, behold thy son, behold thy mother. And then as my sin and your sin was poured out on Christ, she heard him say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back on his own son. Then she heard him say, in terrible agony, I thirst. Isn't that an amazing thought? The God who made all the water. The God who can quench our thirst cries out, I thirst. And then he said, it is finished. And finally he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he died. How do you think she felt? all hope is gone. All of her faith in Christ, he's dead. Well, surely they'll take him off the cross and lay him down and he'll raise up. I mean, surely he's not really dead. Didn't happen. In fact, in Matthew 27, we won't turn there, but it says that Mary Magdalene watched as they took Christ from the cross. And as the Nicodemus and Joseph took him and took him to the sepulcher and put him in a buried tomb. And they saw it, a borrowed tomb. They saw it happen. They saw it happen. Can you imagine her sorrow, folks? The evening passes. Saturday dawns. What's happened? Nothing. She goes to bed Saturday evening, gets up Sunday morning, and the women decide that they're going to go to the tomb and they're going to anoint the body of Christ. There had been no time because they were in a hurry to get his body in the tomb before the Sabbath. So they hurry to the tomb, and what do they find? That the stone has been rolled away and the tomb is empty. I mean, not only is her Savior, her Lord, her Master, not only is he dead, but now his body has been stolen. They can't even perform these rites of love by anointing the body and doing all these things. They can't even do it. Aren't you glad the story doesn't end there? John chapter 20. John chapter 20. You may be there already. Verse 11. We pick up the story. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and she seeth two angels in white, the sitting, the one on the head, the one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Well, we know why she's weeping, don't you? She saith unto them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've lain him." And then she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" By the way, did he know? Sure he did. She saith, she's supposing him to be the gardener, which is an interesting thing, doesn't it? So he was in a glorified body. Saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." And verse 16. This is great.
Now, before we leave that, I believe this is the absolute, humanistic, the absolute lowest point.
Yes.
Here's the person that probably loved him the most.
Yep.
And now all hope is gone, totally forsaken, out of pure pity and love, willing to do something with his body.
Yes. Amen.
And it's got exactly one word.
Yeah. And you look at verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." And in a moment, her weeping turned to wonder. In a moment, her despair turned to delight. In a moment, her gloom turned to glory, her grief to gladness, her heartache to happiness. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? Her Master, Jesus, was alive. She had a helper. She has an intercessor. She can make it because Jesus is alive. She is the first. This is amazing to think about. Here is a crazy woman indwelt by demons. We don't know all that that means, but it was terrible. And Christ redeemed her and saved her and released her. And who was it he appeared to first? It wasn't his disciples. It wasn't to Peter. It wasn't even to his mother. It was to Mary Magdalene. Wow. Can you imagine the joy and the delight? Jesus is alive. Now, folks, If Jesus was not alive, you have no hope. You have no forgiveness. You have no intercessor. You have no hope beyond the grave. But because Jesus is alive, you can be freed from the bondage of sin. You can be freed from the penalty of sin. Hallelujah. Someday you're going to be freed from the presence of sin. Won't that be wonderful? Glory. The devil will be bound and cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. That's one of the great things. There's not a lot of things are not in heaven. There's no disease. There's no night. There's no devil. Hallelujah. But folks, because Jesus is alive today, you can have forgiveness of sins, or you may have it already. Because Jesus is alive, I don't know what your situation is today, but there's hope. Because Jesus is alive, we have the blessed assurance that our loved ones who died in the Lord are in heaven today. And because Jesus is alive, we have the assurance that someday we too will see them in glory. Wow. The power of the resurrection. Because Jesus is alive today, I know that I can pray and talk to God in heaven. And that the intercessor will take my prayers to the very throne of God. And God, who made everything, who controls everything, I can move the hand of God through prayer. Why? Because Jesus is alive today. And there's no situation that's too hard for him. Oh my, you may be saying to me, Gary, you don't know my problem. And you're right, I don't. But I know my God. And God is able. And Jesus is alive and he's there for you today. He's there for you today. The Muslim religion is started by Muhammad. And in 632 AD, he died. Confucianism was started by Confucius, and in 479 BC, he died. Mormonism was founded by Joseph Smith, and in 1844, he died. Charles Russell founded the Jehovah's Witnesses, and in 1916, he died. Christianity was founded by Jesus Christ, and in 30 AD, he died. But 3 days later, he arose from the dead. And Jesus is alive today. And he's alive for you and for me. Praise the Lord. God, we thank you for Resurrection Sunday. And I pray that you would help us today to be changed, that our life would be changed by the knowledge that you're alive today. And God, I thank you that you are victorious over sin. I thank you that on the cross, my sin was placed on you. And you paid for my sin. Lord, I thank you that you didn't stay in the grave. And that today you're seated at the right hand of God, interceding, pleading our case before the judge, God the Father. Lord, we love you today. Help us to love you more. God, drive these thoughts home to our heart. Give us a new appreciation, realization of the wonders of the resurrection, I pray. And may it change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.